And you're listening to The Naked Scientist with Diana O'Carroll and with me, Chris Smith.
Time now for this week's Planet Earth, and we're off in search of the disappearing European shag, which is a seabird similar to a cormorant. Hannah Grist from the University of Aberdeen is studying the birds on the Isle of May to see how the population varies over winter, as she explained to Sue Nelson.
A lot of research has been done on puffins, and a lot less has been done on something like the European shag because people see it everywhere and don't think it's a really fascinating seabird. But actually, we've learnt a lot using the European shag system. On the Isle of May, we've been looking at them for about 30, 40 years now, so we've got a lot of data behind us that we can use to answer a lot of questions.
And what questions are you particularly posing?
Well, the thing we're looking at the moment is, because a lot of the work we've done on the Isle of May has been during the breeding season, which is when they're there breeding, obviously. But what we don't really know is what's happening to them over the winter period. I mean, this is half the year for birds, so it's ridiculous that we're not really paying attention to what's going on over this time.
Is that because they disappear or because they stay there and keep out of sight?
Well, for European shags, for the Isle of May population, what we think they're doing is that a proportion of the population is staying on the Isle of May over the winter, and the rest of them are travelling up and down the coast, up to 200, 300, 400 kilometres away from the Isle of May and staying the winter in different locations. And what we're really trying to do is find out why they're making that journey and what kind of effect it has on them.
How do you do that then? Do you ring them?
Yes, all the shags on the Isle of May are actually colour ringed. You can't really see it in the distance right now, but they have plastic rings on the legs that have a three-letter code in them and are brightly coloured. And this is basically what we're looking for using the telescope, is that we can read the code from a distance, we don't have to recapture them. It means that over the winter we can try and find them and see where individuals are and then relate that back to what we see on the island.
I know this research project is ongoing, but what have you found so far? Any surprises?
I think the surprises are just the sheer distances that some of these birds are going. For example, we have had reports of birds from Orkney, which is a huge distance up the coast for them to be travelling. And also we're kind of looking at if there's any kind of segregation within the population. So if, for example, partners might be moving together or offspring are moving together. And we're not really sure if that's happening at the moment yet, but we have had some anecdotes of partners being seen courting in different locations and juveniles from a single nest having stayed together. So this is the kind of interesting things that we can be looking at in the future.
Do populations of European shags tend to stay stable?
Shags are actually quite an interesting seabird because they seem to follow a kind of, this is what we call a boom and bust dynamic. They breed quite fast for a long-lived bird, but they also can have really high mortality rates. So over the winter in particular, we can lose huge numbers of the populations in what are called winter wrecks. And in around 93-94, we actually lost about 90% of the Isle of May population in a really bad winter. So the winter can have quite a significant effect on this population.
That does make it odd then that why only some of the birds leave. You would have thought, why don't all of them go? Particularly when you can get very harsh winters.
The winters are harsh all the way along the east coast, and we don't see so much of a kind of boom and bust effect on the west coast. We think because there are more inlets on the west coast and they can be more sheltered. So shags are really interesting in that for a seabird, and they're diving seabirds, they go for fish, they're actually not waterproof.
A bird that isn't waterproof.
I know, it's one of those things that sounds like a really terrible idea, but in fact they dive really deeply for birds that just go from the surface and dive down. They can get to about 40 metres, and the thought is that this kind of lack of waterproofing enables them to dive deeper, but what it does mean is that they're very restricted to be able to come back to land to roost, because they need to be able to dry out their feathers. And on this kind of unsheltered eastern shores, we think if we're having bad winters, if there's really bad rain and winds, what's happening is they just can't dry out sufficiently, and that they might be losing them through hypothermia or really high kind of costs of trying to keep themselves warm.
What use will this information be, apart from the fact that you might be able to apply it to other populations of European shags in Wales and Cornwall and other areas where it's quite rocky and cliffy, where they like to be?
Because it's such a long data set we've got on this population, and we know the individuals, we're in quite a unique position to be able to look at things like something we called a carryover effect, which is the effect that perhaps staying in a particular location has on the breeding success in a future season. And that's not something many people have been able to look at. But also from a shag perspective, if we know kind of key locations where they're more protected, where they're surviving better over the winter, that's something that perhaps in the future we might be able to protect for them. So from a conservation perspective, it could have applied relevance.
Hannah Grist from the University of Aberdeen. And if you see one of Hannah's shags and you're able to identify the colouring on the bird's leg with its three-letter code, then she'd love to hear from you at shags@ceh.ac.uk. And there are more Planet Earth online interviews on our website. You can find them at thenakedscientists.com/planet Earth.